testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. The statutes of the rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And in keeping of them there is great reward.
I have a word to share with you that I've been before the Lord, and as usual I always have a title that I like to talk about, and our title today is Obedience Brings Knowledge and Understanding. Obedience brings knowledge and understanding. I often wonder what Adam, Eve, would have learnt from God had they not disobeyed. I wonder what insight, what understanding, what experience they would have had with Almighty God. What there was that God was going to reveal and offer and show. I should think you couldn't begin to comprehend. And yet he forfeited so much of that when they disobeyed God. But we know that through Jesus Christ, the second Adam, that we are being restored. And in that time of restoration, we are learning about God. He is again revealing himself through the Holy Spirit. And there are things that we need to learn with God. God always looks for obedience out of us. This is what he looked from Adam, Eve, and this is what he looks from us. And nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in what Adam and Eve did, and nothing has changed with mankind and humanity. And nothing has changed, sadly, even in the house of God. But one thing that is in our favour now is the grace and mercy of God. And that we are being reconciled in Jesus Christ. We are all a work that is in progress. But fundamentally, one thing we have to learn as believers and disciples of Christ, that it is always obedience that pleases our Heavenly Father. And we need to get that really deep within our minds and our very hearts. And he's going to work that within us if we are willing, if we let him. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, Obedience Brings Knowledge and understanding, and very much the title reveals itself. I want to base this from John chapter 7, verses 15 to 19. John 7, verses 15 to 19. Now, it's all in the context of where Jesus has those that are following him. He's got followers. He's got disciples. And if we see in the previous chapter of chapter 6, there were many disciples who followed him, but because of his teaching, because of what he was saying to them, and because they didn't understand, we see many of them turn back. They no longer wanted to walk with him. And he turns to the disciples, the 12, and says, "Do you want to go as well?" And very often we find ourselves where we go through experiences that are very similar. We don't always understand what God is saying and what he's doing. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. And we come to this part here where we take it up in verse 5 of chapter 7 of John, which says, "And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied?" So we get indications of our Lord where he didn't come over as a man who was well versed and well studied, certainly not in the Pharisees' eyes, because they boasted in their knowledge, they boasted in how that they could quote and memorize scriptures. Jesus didn't come in that way. And it goes on, "And Jesus answered them, and he said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." So immediately reveals that his doctrine, what he shared, what he taught, and what he taught on, was not his. It's a gift. It's a revelation. And we too need to have that spirit about us, that what we learn, what is opened up to us, what knowledge or understanding that is given is not ours, it is the gift of God. And he goes on in verse 17, "If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." And then he goes on about how Moses gave the law. And so on. So there's some very interesting statements that our Lord is giving here. For example, in verse 13, it says, "However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews." So we see that the religious system dominated at that time. There was control. Religious control. So this was creating fear. And Jesus knows all about this. Then in verse 14, "Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and he taught." So we see that Jesus was also a teacher of the word. Now, the Jews then marvel, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" What they were saying there was, he doesn't teach like we do. He's not saying what we say. This man There's something different about him. The message, the teaching that he gives, where does he get this from? Who is teaching him this? These are the questions that they are raising. And in many ways, it's no different today. For God has set the unction of the Spirit in the body of Christ, and he has raised men whom he has called and anointed, who will preach and teach similar to how Jesus taught. In other words, it's divinely given. You will always be able to discern an anointed ministry because you are aware flesh and blood does not reveal it. It comes by the Spirit. Now, to live and understand the deeper life which we teach, you have to obey it. You see, to some, it doesn't occur to them that when finally their eyes are open, they have to live it and obey it. And if they don't want to, then they become offended. So every time God opens our eyes, he illumines our mind to the revelation of his word. There is a responsibility that is attached to it. And when God opens our eyes to his word, there are two things that will be present. We either in humility say, Lord, help me to live this and obey this, or we become offended. Just like back in chapter 6, those disciples, they turned away because they became offended by what Jesus was saying to them. He was saying that you are to eat of my flesh and to drink of my blood. Now, he knows what he's saying there because that can be very offensive to a Jew. But they were not understanding the inner principle, the deeper meaning. They were not spiritual, in other words. And we need to be spiritual. We need to be people who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh to understand the deeper truths, the deeper life. Otherwise, we become offended. You see, to walk by faith and have this spiritual understanding, this comes by obedience. The only way you have faith, the only way you can understand the revelation of God's word is that you obey it. You have a heart to obey it. And if not, then you will intellectually try to pursue it and study it. If you don't have that heart to live God's word, then you try to intellectually assimilate and work out the word of God, and you don't fully understand it. This is why there is so much confusion in the house of God. And I wish more preachers would teach this, that the only way we can understand God's word is if we have a heart, a desire to obey it. Otherwise, we don't have the revelation, the understanding, the blessing. We don't walk by faith. We can say we do. We can say that we believe in the promises of God, but the promises of God are not taking hold of our lives. We're simply intellectually understanding. But when you obey the word of God, then the promises of God, they become a part of you. It's like they take hold of you. And you live them. You confess them. You act upon them. They become yours. You see, the word of God, God has given to us as a gift, that we can be partakers of this word, this heavenly manna. That's the gift. And yet, how many see this? You see, if you want scientific knowledge and intellectual learning, then you do it by the flesh. In other words, you're in control. And that's what you do if you go to college or you go to university or whatever it would be. You are studying books, you go to the lectures and classes and so on. You're intellectually in control. That's what we knew. That's what we did. But that is not how you approach the Word of God. It doesn't work that way. Why? Because the Word is a gift given to us. It is ministered to us by the Holy Spirit. And although, yes, we use our brains intellectually in that sense, but the understanding, the knowledge of God's Word has to be imparted into the heart. Whereas knowledge, scientific knowledge you want to learn, it just remains in that grey matter in the brain. And of course, we still use our brains, but the heart has to change. And there is a difference. It's from the heart you believe. It's not from the head. It has to be from the heart. That's why God gives us a new heart. A new creation in order to believe this way. You see, if you want faith, and we need faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God. Romans 15 tells us if we're not in faith, it is sin. And if we want that spiritual understanding that goes with our faith, this can only be obtained through obedience. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17. And as we hear it, we obey on it. We don't question it. We don't argue with it or whatever. And there is that spiritual understanding. That's why I'm calling this teaching, obedience brings knowledge and understanding. It's a knowledge what God wants you to know. It was a knowledge and understanding that God wanted to impart to Adam and Eve. But they disobeyed that. Their minds became a slave to the enemy, to the God of this world. And that is what you and I, brothers and sisters, are being delivered from. You see, Jesus had to learn this himself. We know this well, but turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. There we are. It's those who obey him. And he goes on to speak about him being a high priest and so forth. So Jesus had to learn. He had to be obedient to his Father to have that knowledge and understanding that flesh and blood could not reveal, to be able to walk in the way and manner that he did. And he walked in total obedience and surrender to his Father. And that is the same work the Holy Spirit's doing with you and I. It is no different. How about Romans chapter 6? Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Now, what a verse that is. Did you know that you can become a slave to obedience? That is what you can surrender your life up to. You can become a slave to obeying. And it's not a slave where you are badly treated in that sense, but you choose. It's a choice. Because your obedience leads to salvation. It's quite clear what the apostle says here. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Whether of sin, that means yourself, what you want to do, and that's going to lead to death eventually, or of obedience leading to righteousness. You see, God is going to work this within us. This is something we cannot ignore. I know this is a difficult subject, and it's a subject that I can tell you a lot of preachers steer clear of. But I cannot, and the Holy Spirit won't let me do it. Because if we become slaves to obedience, then we have eternal life and blessing. And what is it going to give us? It's going to bring that knowledge and that understanding, which at times we crave for and want as we want to go deeper with the Lord. So I'm a slave to obedience. And I allow and I submit myself to obey. That's what I'm doing. I'm willingly, the same as I willingly take up my cross daily and follow the Lord. So I'm willingly submitting myself to that exercise, to that discipline of obeying, as God by his mercy and grace is working that within my life. And he will. If you want that, he's going to do that. He'll move heaven and earth for that. Because that's the very thing he wanted out of Adam and Eve. And it's the very thing that he wants out of you and out of me. That is what pleases him more than anything. We think somehow we please him if we go to church, and we do. Or we please him if we worship him. And yes, it pleases him. There's many, many things that pleases him. But if you really want to know the real heartbeat of your Father, that it's obedience. That is the greatest delight he takes in. Believe me. You see, if disobedience and resistance is found in you, you can't be assured of spiritual things. In fact, it's spiritual darkness. You're never really sure about the word. You're never really sure about what you hear. So you're having to ask God, or you have to go and keep asking people, is that of the Lord? What did you think of that sermon? You know, and so on. I know people who are like that. They're never sure. They're wavering. They're in unbelief. It's the same if you study for exams or whatever it is. You have to put into it. It's what you sow is what you reap. And there is a general lack of knowledge and understanding spiritually amongst many of God's people. That's why they get deceived. That's why they're going from one place to another. They're never sure. And that is not the Holy Spirit's ministry. He has come to anchor you. He's come to teach you, to take over. He's come to illumine his word to you through that new mind and heart that he's given. You see, every word and sermon that we receive from God means we are to put to the test regarding it. So what I hear, I discern, I test, and yes, it's of God. Yes, I've discerned it. It is of the Spirit, and yes, he wants me to live this. There's a wonderful story, isn't there, in Matthew 5. This is quite a good analogy, this. In Matthew 5, where we are to be reconciled to our brother or sister. Matthew 5, 23, 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now that gift can be anything. It can also be worship and praise, your prayers, or whatever it is. In other words, don't start praying to God. Don't start praying out in the meeting if you've got something within your heart against your brother or your sister. In other words, you're a hypocrite. So why is that? It means then that you do something about it. In other words, it's obedience. You are obeying the word of God or the light that you have, which means that you have to be reconciled to your brother or sister. And very often God tests us with the word. He'll test us in those areas to see if we're going to obey him or not. Or you may have borrowed something off a brother or sister and, you know, you've just had it for a very, very long time and you're not really bothered about it and probably they'll forget about it anyway and I can have it. God won't have that. You've got to take it back. You said you would only borrow it and you return it. Again, these can be simple, small things, but it's about obedience. That is the point. And he's saying here, with regard to being reconciled to your brother or sister, don't say anything to me. Don't say a word until you're reconciled. Don't try and worship me. Don't try and offer up any prayers. I'm not going to listen till you obey. You see, God will do that sometimes. Sometimes you're praying, you're trying to get God's attention. You're trying to get through. It seems though God isn't there. He's not listening. It may be that God is saying, you haven't obeyed me yet. I showed you something, but you have resisted. You haven't done it. You see, God does this. You see, the word hits us where we are and where we live. And he instructs us to the finest detail. God is going to leave nothing uncovered in your life. He sometimes will go to the finest, the minutest detail in your life, in your heart, or whatever he's doing. See, only God can do that. But too often we just put it to one side, oh, well, that doesn't really matter, or whatever it is. It does. It really does. You see, God will deal with your excuses. He's going to deal with our self-justifications. And he's just going to make us sensitive to those things that at times are unimaginable. That's why he's not going to have it. He's not going to have us making these excuses, trying to justify ourselves, or I couldn't do it because I was too busy, or whatever it is. You know, there's an old saying in the world, where there's a will, there's a way. It's amazing what we will do when we want to do it, or if it's going our way, or I'm going to get something out of it. But when it comes to obeying God, his word, we're not so keen on that. And there's the difference. So are we going to become slaves of obedience? Because I think that's the only way we're going to obey. And I think to become slaves to obedience, that's for the sons of God. Children don't understand that. But you see, you're growing, you're maturing in the faith. And there's the difference. You see, when the Holy Spirit is honing in on these areas, don't evade it. Maybe this evening God is honing in on some areas he's speaking to you. I know he spoke to me as I prepared this. Don't evade it. Go before him. Ask for that help. He will do it. Because if you don't, it affects your faith. And this is why at times we don't have the faith that we should have. And that our faith is not producing the works that glorify God. Because we're not obeying. The light that we do have, we don't obey on it. We resist it, or we make excuses for whatever it would be. We can't do that, brothers and sisters. You see, it affects our faith. It affects our spiritual understanding. And if you don't have that faith and that spiritual understanding, then you stop growing as a Christian. You would be very concerned about your child if your child suddenly stopped growing and developing. And yet we see so much of that in the spiritual amongst our brothers and sisters in the house of God. There are a lot that are stunted in their growth spiritually. They're not developing, maturing, which we should do by the word of God, by understanding and our walk of faith. And these are the problems. You see, sometimes our obeying God may not always be understood. We know this from Abraham. Let's turn to Hebrews, the great faith chapter of all the saints that moved and walked by faith. But here we get a clear example in Hebrews 11 verse 8 about faithful Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Did he question? Did he say, well, Lord, unless you tell me where I'm going, I am not moving one foot? No, he didn't. He's obviously believing. He's obviously a man who's already had an encounter with God, because it says by faith he obeyed. And that's what faith is. Faith is obedience that works by love. And God was able to move him on that and to move him as a pilgrim from place to place, not knowing where he was going. But all he knew was that he was walking with God, and wherever God took him, he was there with him. And that is how you and I walk, brothers and sisters, spiritually like this. We walk by faith and obedience each day with God. And we don't question. We just do it. And as we do it, and as we obey, then we get, as the title says, obedience brings that knowledge and that understanding. And so in time, when you walk by faith or whatever it is, then you get the deeper knowledge and understanding. You see the will of God being performed through your life. Ah, I now see, Lord. I didn't see it before, but I can see now what you're saying. You see, our life is so much like somebody who has a bow and arrow. And that arrow is set in the bow, and the bow is pulled back as far as possible and released so that it hits that bullseye. And that's what God does with us. God sometimes stretches us just like the bow. He pulls it back until it's almost breaking, and then he releases and it hits the target. Ah, I see now. There's the understanding. There's where you give God all the glory and all the praise. And you see, when you get that knowledge and that understanding, what that does for your faith is nobody's business. Your faith feeds off that knowledge and understanding, which comes as a result of obedience. That is why we say faith comes by hearing the word. And as we're even hearing tonight, so it's teaching us to have a greater faith, you see. It's all there. We do it in the natural. We did it in the natural. When we studied, we read books. We went to school, to college, to university, and so on. We were filling our brains, our minds with all that instruction and knowledge and so forth, so that it all comes out in time. Well, take that over to the spiritual, and with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, how infinitely more. That is why I've always said that faith is the highest form of knowledge man can ever experience in this life. And Jesus sat a child down in the midst of the disciples and said, unless you have a faith like this child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. He was showing something there. We make it all so complicated. And you know why it's so complicated and we miss it? Because we don't want to obey. And so Romans 6 says, do we want to become slaves of obedience? You see, that's the hallmark of a son or daughter of God. That is the hallmark of someone who's going on and meaning business with God. It's the hallmark that Jesus had as well, because his obedience took him finally to the cross to fulfill the Father's will through him. And if Jesus' obedience wrought reconciliation to the world, to you and I, then what is your obedience going to do? What is your obedience going to do for the house of God? What is your obedience going to do for your family, your loved ones, your witness, and how God wants to use you? It's the same principle. Obedience brings the power of God into a situation. This is why the devil tries to fight. He tries to stop you obeying God, because he knows that obedience destroys the enemy. It divides him. It exposes him. You see, I know the flesh will always manifest. Maybe the Lord wants you up at 5 or 6 in the morning to pray. Oh, your flesh, it'll come up with every answer as to why you can't do it. But you just get out, just obey God, just go and do it and get in prayer. And for you know where you are, your obedience has brought something greater. You've got a deeper knowledge and understanding of God, or what he's doing, or why he's calling you to pray like he is. It always works. Always works. And yet, it's the least understood. It's the least taught in the house of God. And I wonder why. I think obedience is one of those words that you don't use today. It's not conducive. It's somehow you're regarded as a goody-goody if you're obedient. Because we live in a world of rebellion today. Man wants to do his own thing. And nobody's going to tell me what to do. And sadly, that attitude is in the house of God. And that is why God is delivering us from those mindsets. We were probably very willful and very stubborn and liked our own way before we came to Christ. He then has to start to work that deliverance in us. And he's going to show us who is master. But at first we try to tell God how he's going to do it and when he's going to do it. And then we begin to learn that God isn't going to have that anymore. And you see, as I bring this to a close, I believe our obedience is actually our protection. Our obedience is going to keep us from the evil one. It's going to keep us from all of those things that sadly affect many in the house of God. There's a lot of oppression, sickness in the house of God. If we just obeyed, there would not be these things. Our disobedience brings the hedge down and the enemy can have access. That is why we're in the time of restoration. That is why God is restoring us back. We are all of us in the process of being delivered, being healed, being restored. But he's showing us the key to this is obedience, because obedience brings knowledge and understanding. We all of us want a faith that glorifies God. We all of us want a faith that when we pray, our prayers are always answered. We all of us want a faith to see miracles, healings, deliverances, salvation. All of these things that God has put within our heart anyway, they are going to be seen as we obey God, because it's going to bring that knowledge and understanding that our faith desperately cries out for. Because when we have that knowledge and understanding in faith, that revelation, that is the rest of faith. You're then not wavering. You're not looking for feelings or emotions, which so often we have mistaken is our faith, and it isn't. You know what faith is doing. You know how to act your faith. You know when it's right to step out. You know when it's right. Faith knows how to act. It's that knowledge. It's that understanding. You cannot receive it in the natural. You cannot receive this in the flesh. It can only come by the Spirit. When Jesus said it here, it's given. Let's just read it again before we finish. The Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I have spoken out of my own authority." So he only spoke out of what the Father revealed. And the Father, our Father, will reveal our faith. Our Father will show us what faith does, how faith works, how it confesses, how it believes, because it's not ours. This doctrine is not ours. The revelation that God gives us is not ours. It is his. And he has graciously shared this with me. He has graciously illumined my mind to be able to understand it. And that's why we give him all the praise and all the glory. And that is what is going to stimulate and motivate you to obey him. Because obedience always comes out of love. Not I must or I have to. It's because I love him, I will obey him. If it is not out of love, it will never work, brothers and sisters, because God is not raising robots. He's raising sons in these last days who will glorify his name. Amen. Obedience brings knowledge and understanding. Heavenly Father, may the manner of this word become living reality to our lives. Father, help us not to resist in any way, but to yield over to your Spirit and allow your Spirit to have his way in our lives. Father, may our obedience come out of our love, our loyalty, our commitment to you, as you are so lovingly committed to us. Father, may we be not only hearers, but doers of the word. And Lord, help each of us to become slaves of obedience. Father, please put that affection, that desire within our hearts. And thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for opening our eyes and ears and heart.
For the mercy.